Amen. Well, this morning, I want to go to part two, if you will, of the series on using the Bible effectively. And last Sunday, we talked about the first part of that is knowing what the Bible says, and the fact that you've got to read the Bible. You've got to go home. You've got to crack open your Bible. You've got to read it, and not just knowing it in part, as far as one verse here. I can quote John 3:16 or John 14:6, or the Romans road and whatnot. But knowing what the Bible says, not that you can know everything, but you got to know about the Bible in order for you to use the Bible effectively. And we gave the analogy last Sunday of a weapon, of a tool that is used. You've got to know about it. You've got to know how to use it, how it works, all of those different parts about that. And, this morning I just want to take that a step further and say that you got to live what the Bible says. If you want to be able to use the Bible effectively, you got to first know, because you can't live it before you know it. So you got to know what the Bible says. And then once you know what it says, then you got to go to that next level, and you got to live what the Bible is telling you and walk that stuff out. There are so many people that miss, and we say, by 8 inches or however many you're going to miss heaven by that, between the space between your heart and your head, because you know a lot and you have all of this biblical knowledge and you can quote scripture like this right here. But if you don't have that heart knowledge to where you're walking it and you're talking it, you are not a regenerated Christian. That's just the way that goes. You can't have the indwelling of the Word of God in your heart and not have that change you. And you'd be living it. You'd be walking out differently. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And it's on your screen. And it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Here you have Jesus Christ in his own words telling you that you must live out. You must, what did it say? Put into practice. Not only to hear it. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise person." And you have so many people, and you can come to church on Sunday morning and you can hear the word. You can hear the Bible. That's not it. That's not the extent of what you're supposed to be doing with the Bible. And so many people, they've heard it, but you're not putting it into practice. And you're not going out and you're not letting that change you and live. And right there, look what it says. "And that type of building process will fall with a great crash." What's that mean? Bust hell wide open just about it. Okay? That type of shallow understanding and practicing of God's word is not going to have you when things come against you in your life. And this is not just hell. I'm going to talk to you all as saved Christians for just a moment. When you just simply use the Bible as a prop or a crutch, like we talked about last Sunday, when things come against you in your life, when Satan comes a knocking like he does all the time, you're going to be knocked over. You're not going to be killed, but you're going to boom, boom, knocked over. Just keep slapping you. Keep slapping you around right there. Because he's going to come. And the wind is going to come. These verses right here tell you the winds. I want to submit that to you today. The winds are going to come. The streams are going to rise. All of these things are going to come against you. They are going to come. Because you are a Christian, that does not alleviate you from those things right there. The wind, the blew against and beat on the house, and the streams rising, that does not alleviate you from all of those things that are going to happen. What it does, the Bible and the foundation that you build, it makes or breaks whether you are going to be one left standing or you crash into the ground. That's what the Bible is different. So many people being sold a gospel that says, if you will just come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, your life will be perfect. Right. Okay. Try that on for size. Let me see how it works for you, okay? Because it hadn't happened to me. It sure is not perfect, but I can tell you what, I wouldn't trade it in for anything else, because when Jesus Christ is alongside of you, he didn't say he was going to take us out of the world. He just says that world is not our home. He said, you are not of the world. Okay, and so I would rather have to be in the world and have to deal with these types of things than to be of the world, no doubt about that. And Jesus here in his own words is kind of, I guess he talked to James a little bit there in James chapter 1 verse 22, because James just regurgitated exactly basically what Jesus is saying. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Be ye not hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And I love that. Do not merely listen to the word and to deceive yourself, because you do. There's so many people that are deceived today, and you see it. The church has lost its power. The Christians have lost their the power that you walk in Jesus Christ to be able to not just let Satan run you all over town, that you can stand the same way that Jesus stood in Matthew chapter 4:4, which we'll look at in just a moment. But you can stand in that same type of victory, because Satan doesn't win. And the Bible tells you that, but you can't fight Satan with a bow and arrow, as we said last Sunday, or a gun, or anything else. You only fight against Satan with this weapon right here. And I'm just asking you, do you know how to use it? Do you read it? Do you study it? And then today, do you live it? That's not a, don't play a game to nobody else up here. This is you. This is you. This isn't the Christian sitting beside you. You can't blame your parents or your grandparents or your children or the person sitting beside you or behind you or in front of you in this church for you not having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because it's an individual effort. Nobody saves you. Nobody goes out and wins your soul. Jesus Christ is the only one that wins your soul. Whenever you willingly submit to him. And that's the same way with this Bible. You can stand up one day and you can go against Satan and say, well, you know what? My mama knows that Bible real good. The seven sons of Sceva, they may have had a mama that knew the Bible real well. And Satan whipped them so much that they left naked. You can read that. Is that happening to you? Well, let me just say this. I know it's happening within the walls of this church, because I hear about it. I hear about Satan coming up and doing things and just knocking people over and throwing them for a loop. But, you know, I also hear about, and people come up to me last week and they were telling me, you know, I listened to the sermon Sunday and I went home and I started studying and reading my Bible and going through it. And people, you know, calling me all through this week. I got more phone calls this week and Facebook messages and text messages of people saying, where do you start? Where do you begin to read the Bible? Okay? And you know, the it's as simple, really, as just taking it and throwing it down and reading it. I mean, that's if you want to go that simple. But I mean, I can help you, you know, get to a little place, you know, there to, you know, start on reading it. But I mean, just get in there and read it. It doesn't really matter where you start in the Bible, because it all comes together and you start reading it and it regenerates your life there. But the book of John is a place that I like for people to start, because it gets to the meat. But I mean, you look at what James is telling you right there. Let me just ask you real quick. Do you think that most people are doing what the Bible says? Christian people, I'm saying. What percentage would we say meet the definition of this verse? They're not just merely listeners, but they're doers. What's the percentage that we would say today? Somebody throw something out. 25? 10%? 6%. Nobody even got close to 50%? Wait a minute. Stop just right there. Hear me now, church. These are anybody think it's above 50%? I mean, nobody knows. I'm just saying, what do you think? I know no study's been done. God only knows that. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that a Christian person can sit here today and say that less than 10% of people are not merely listeners of the word, but they are not just merely, all they do is listen, they don't do it. Something wrong? Nothing's wrong? Something is wrong, y'all. Something is terribly wrong with that. I mean, you would think that, hey, stuck together down here. You would really think that people, that Christians themselves would be puffed up enough to say, yes, well, you know, we got it probably about 51% at least. If we are thinking that there's only 10%, what view does the world have of us? That's a big problem to me, church. It's a big problem. And yet, what do you do about it? You think I'm going to be able to help? I'm going to be able to come to your house and knock on there and say, hey, Mary Beth, you're reading your Bible today? You're studying your Bible? You're living what it says? You're doing what it says? Are you not merely just listening in church about it? You know, come up to every one of y'all and say, come on, pull you. Come on, come on. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink. And it's the same way with Christian people today. You sit back and you think in churches that somehow that it's the minister is going to be up here and he's going to help you to get to the place that you know how to use this Bible effectively. I can't impart all that type of knowledge into you just 30 minutes or 20 minutes or however long it is that we have when you only come to one service. Not saying you got to come to all three, because that's your business. Even in all three, even if we met together an hour a day, 7 days a week, I wouldn't be able to do it. First of all, because I don't know it all like that. Second of all, because it's just like school. If you make your children, your grandchildren, nieces and nephew, when they come home from school to do homework, but yet, and you think that in order to grasp science, social studies, math, and English, that you have to do homework, but you don't think you need to do that with God's word, there's a problem there. This is a whole lot more complicated than chemistry. We've been seeing that on Wednesday nights, have we not? Whole lot more complicated than that. I can get the periodic table and, you know, two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen. Hey, it gets you some water right there. But how the Trinity works, I couldn't tell you, okay? But to even get people to go home and read it today is a huge task. But to get people to live it, and Jesus was trying to get people to do that back in his day, and it hadn't changed much. And you can see the effects of that in our world today. You can see it. We're not living it. And you come up against Satan with this stuff, you know, like with some water, you know, I'm going to throw some holy water on you or something like that. You come up and he whips you every single time near about. Every single time. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Verses 19 through 25. You ask yourself today, well, how do I live the Bible? I mean, that's a big old book. What are you telling me to do? How do you live what it says? Well, first of all, you got to know what it says, so get to reading it, and then you'll figure it out, and then you can get to this point. But let me give you a little 30-second infomercial right here about it. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Bam! There's your couple of verses of scripture right there. Start right there and look at that. That gives you a lot of things right there. Sexual immorality. Whoa. Good place to start today with all the sexual immorality that's going on in this country, in this state, in this city, you know, right here. A lot of things there. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry. Idolatry. What? Idolatry. Do you think today, really and truly, that idolatry is just, oh, I don't have any statues in my house of, you know, Buddha or anything like that, and that we're not an idolatrous nation? I showed you a video one time. You know, they've got all of these things. They showed the Greeks and all of their idolatry and things and idols that they had, built huge temples and Parthenons for their gods and things of that nature, and had all these, you know, ornaments everywhere, and people had them in their houses. And, you know, they, when the natives are going and they're worshiping these things, they paint their faces and they're going down and up and all this kind of stuff. What do you think we do with stadiums today? We build huge football or basketball or baseball, hockey, whatever, stadiums. And we go and we hoop and we holler and we paint our faces and all of those things. I'm not saying because you enjoy sports or any of the other things like that that you are an idolater, but I'm telling you, it can become that. It can become that. And it does become that for most people. Most people, when you say, hey, God, I want you to sit back over here for just a moment, all right, and I'm just going to put this right here ahead of you. And I'm not even saying about church because, you know, that's your business whether you come to church or not. I'm not telling you that you need to come to church and that's what makes you a Christian. I'm telling you there's a lot of people that come to church that are not. So I'm telling you, do it at home. That's what I'm preaching to you about this morning. This is at home. I know what we try to look like we do when we come to church. But I'm talking about at home is what makes the difference. Outside of that Ninja Turtle comforter that I tell y'all about, God sees it. He sees through those things. And he wants us to live it every single day. And you look at all of those things, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Don't do those things. And instead of doing those things, do what the other passage of Scripture says. You know, display love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Display those things. You'll start living the Bible in a way like that if you'll just look at that. Not a hard place to go. Galatians 5, 19 through 25 right there. And I'm going to tell you, I want to show you here, as I said earlier, Matthew chapter 4. Satan comes up against you. You got things. The wind is coming. The waters are rising and all of that stuff. And you don't know how to use the Bible as a weapon, as a tool that it is. You're going to get crashed. But if you do, then you'll act like Jesus. And right here in chapter 4, Jesus answered him, "It is written." Now, where do you suppose Jesus was talking about it was written at? In the Scripture. Wow. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, that's a powerful verse of Scripture right there. And I'm asking you today, do you know what the Bible says? Do you live what the Bible says? But here's the biggest question. Do you live on the Bible? Because, see, this verse says that man does not live on bread alone. You don't live on it. You don't live on just bread, but you live on the Word of God. Do you love the Bible so much that when you don't read it, that you feel like you're starving like you do when you don't eat for a couple of days? Is that the type of imparting of the Scripture that you have in your life? Ask yourself that today. If you can just simply not have any of the Word of God for a solid week, you just get a little bit on Sunday. I challenge you to treat the Word of God like you treat food. Only get a little bit on Sunday. And don't eat no more until you come back. Try that. Lose a lot of weight, most of us. Try it. You'd be starving. Are you like that with the Word? It's a good question. It's not a question that you need to, you know, say out loud to everybody because it really doesn't matter. But it is something. It's not up there because that's Matthew 5, 4. But the Word of God living on that. And I'm going to submit something to you this morning. You won't be able to live it until you live on it. That's just the way it is. Because all you'll be doing is just kind of looking at it and going, well, I'll tell you what, I think I'm going to get me a piece of this right here. It's not a buffet. Not a buffet, but look at it like you do your food source, and you know, every time you go to eat, say, oh, you know, I ought to be reading my Bible. Every time you get a snack, oh, I ought to be reading my Bible. And if you and just see how much, you know, you live on all of this other food, the food that makes this material body right here healthy or unhealthy, depending on what food choices that you have right there. But you won't eat on the food that makes your spiritual body more mature and strong and able to withstand the attacks that are going to be coming against it. That makes no sense. I would love to say that the statistics of people who meet James 1:22 were higher within this church. I'm not saying that they're not. I said I would love to go and proclaim that. Can I? Is a question. Can I say that, you know what, the people here that worship at United Community Church don't merely, you know, just hear the word, but they do the word. But you know, the sad thing is there's churches that are filled up, and I don't know that. Oh, now I see some things, but see, I only get to see for most of you what you do here on Sunday. And that doesn't cut the mustard. What do you do Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? When I tell you that, and I'm not trying to puff myself up because I got a lot to do, but I'm going to tell you, when you give these cards that I pray over these, there is hardly a day goes by these cards are not in my front pocket. Because I always have a shirt that has a pocket, and I pray over them cards every day. And I at least get in this Bible at some point every day. Every day. There's probably a day that goes by that somehow it just didn't happen. But it's somewhere. It's on my computer at work. It's on my cell phone. It's here. I have a copy of it everywhere, you know, that it goes. I mean, and I just don't understand. You know, it's changed my life. Changed it. Tom Murray went out, and he's the one that made a stand, and he said, you know, I'm going to study my Bible, okay? And Monday, he studied it. Tuesday, he was studying it. Wednesday, he was studying it, and went out and went to work, and one of the inmates there at that's on his detail came up to him and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior that day. When you read it, know it, and live it, the next thing that you got to do next Sunday is share it, okay? And I don't know if there's any more revelation that you was on the right track than what happened on Wednesday. And also maybe what happened on Thursday, okay, when Satan comes, oh, Tommy, old boy, no, we can't be having that, son. You know, now you advancing the kingdom of God? No, you've learning how to wield that weapon right there in a mighty way. We gotta rein you back right now. And then all you do is you turn around to Satan and you say, hey, you know it's written in Revelation chapter 20 that you lose yet. That's what you gotta know how you gotta know it says that. You gotta know that you have victory in Jesus Christ. It's not just a song in the hymn book. We have victory in Jesus Christ. And don't let Satan, we let Satan run us all over town. I'm scared of him. I'm running. Let him overtake your house and your children and things like that. No. He doesn't have to. You go in through things in your life, and I'm not telling you that you're going to be at the Bible some magical thing, name it, claim it kind of stuff, and just because it says it that you're going to be released of diabetes or anything else that is there. But I'm going to tell you what, the Bible says that not only does he hear our prayers, but he will answer our prayers. And he says, make your petitions known unto him if you will abide in him now. You can get those things. Lazarus was raised from the dead because somebody asked. The woman with the issue of blood, where she come up and she's tugging on the hem of his garment, she came up. And there is still that type of healing power. And you can claim that. You can. Now, whether God is going to do those things, hey, that's up to him. But I'm going to tell you, you can ask, you can pray, and you can have faith believing that whether he heals you in the way that you want to be healed or not, you are going to be healed. But I want to pray that his ultimate will is going to be done in your life. I'm going to tell you, if you go home and you read this, and you start to live it, not even in every step because you won't be able to do that, but if you just live it and try to say every day, I need my daily bread. I need my daily bread. And Father, help me today. My prayer every morning is help me today to advance your kingdom in whatever way I can. Every day. Every day. And do that. And live the word. And you're going to fail sometimes. You're going to fall. But guess what? When you do, the Bible says, here's something, here's a little word of encouragement, that he's going, you know, Jesus reached down and he grabbed Peter. He pulled him up out of the water. He's not only our creator, but he is your sustainer, okay? He helps to hold you up. Know what it says, live what it says, and next Sunday we'll talk about sharing what it says. Let's pray.